This is a Carlisle ValueCast, brought to you by the Carlisle Group. ValueCast brings you insights from our One Carlisle Network, providing analysis, data, and observations to help you navigate the global economy and top-of-mind issues in news. The Carlisle Group. Invest wisely. Create value.
Greetings and welcome to Carlisle ValueCast. I'm Chris Ullman, head of Carlisle's Global Communications. This is the latest in a series of podcasts featuring Carlisle's operating executives and advisors. Today we are joined by Dennis Lieberson. Dennis is a Carlisle operating advisor who focuses on people at our portfolio companies, specifically helping think through organizational and human resource strategies, human capital planning, hiring, and development. Welcome, Dennis.
Thank you for having me.
So, Dennis, when you're at a cocktail party and someone asks you what you do for a living, what do you say?
I tell them I advise private equity portfolio companies on organizational and human resource strategies and issues.
Do they then walk away, or does that prompt a deeper conversation?
Oftentimes, they ask me more, and they want to know exactly what that means. And I'll tell them that I try to understand the business, I try to understand the business strategy, in the case of private equity, the drivers of value creation, and organizational strategies that help accomplish those goals.
You have a fascinating background. So nearly a decade at Capital One Financial Services, and prior to that at Burger King, but in each case dealing with people, human resources. And at Capital One, the employee base grew from less than 2,000 to more than 20,000. So are people people, whether it's in tobacco, burgers, or credit cards?
Essentially, people are the same. But different constituent groups have different backgrounds and different sensitivities, and therefore do require different approaches.
So let's talk about leadership. What are some of the kind of core attributes of a leader that you look for when you're trying to build a team at, for example, one of Carlisle's portfolio companies?
So let's start generally. We would look for people leadership skills, decision-making skills, relationship skills, communication skills, ability to manage execution, the ability to drive innovation and change, the ability to deliver results. These are all important, but I often tell people that what matters most is understanding what people's greatest strengths are and what their greatest deficiencies are. Because they as individuals and you in building a team need to understand what they can best leverage and what gets in their way.
So from arguably what could be a very large list, kind of the wish list, what's really the most important? Because very few people walk on water. And what are the must-haves as you look at prospective leaders?
Understanding yourself, understanding your strengths and weaknesses, that's one element. The next thing I look for, particularly in a CEO, is do they have something unique they bring to the business? Do they have a core set of skills? It may be their industry knowledge. It may be their leadership ability. It may be their strategic ability. And then the other thing is they have to be able to build a great team. No one person can do it all. I frequently say that business is a team sport. And you have to be able to put together a team that complements your own abilities as a CEO and meets all the needs that the business has to drive its strategy.
When we bring in someone like you to help us think through the creation or rebuilding or supplementing of a leadership team, how do you start? Walk us through that process.
I structure my analysis around four key elements: structure, culture, talent, and organizational capability. And I seek to find where the opportunities are within those buckets.
Mm-hmm. So I want to peel the onion a little more on you've done all the interviews, you've assessed what the culture is like there, you're getting a sense of the people and prospective candidates. What's next?
I would develop a set of recommendations, and I would sit down with the CEO, and I would talk about the recommendations and negotiate with the CEO around a set of action steps to start building out the human resources or organizational strategy that I lay out. It may say we need to build organizational capability around e-commerce, for example. So we would go out and say, we're going to do a search for a world-class e-commerce person. It might be that they don't have sufficient, in their culture, ability to delegate and hold people accountable. So I'll work with the CEO on developing a goal-setting process and maybe build incentive plans that tie to the achievement of people's goals and financial objectives.
How do you know if someone is talented, if they're a leader, if they're good at building teams, and how do you know if they'll fit in? What is the process you go through to make that judgment?
I like to recommend that people use a disciplined analytical approach. And it starts by understanding the challenges faced by the business, then identifying the executive competencies needed to address the challenges. I encourage people to be very detailed and specific in assessing the executives that they talk to. It's important to differentiate between competencies and articulate people's relative strengths and weaknesses. I look for competency gaps across the executive team and seek to fill them with hires to augment the team.
Is there a universal CEO, or do you have a type that works better in one circumstance or the other?
I would go back to the idea that you have to start by understanding the challenges of the business, understand the capabilities, competencies that are needed, and then search for those. So in a case of a growth business, you would look for someone who has grown a business before, because it is a unique set of challenges and it's a unique set of learnings. Oftentimes in our businesses, we're looking for someone who can build capability. You'll start with a relatively small business that's good at some core capabilities, but to get it to the next level, you have to invest in other areas. And they have to be builders. Oftentimes the CEO is good at the core of the business and will look for somebody who can come in underneath and is a builder who can add capacity and capability to the business. In another situation where times are tough, you might look for someone who's better at rationalizing, downsizing an organization. And given the time frame that we have in private equity, we certainly know that we don't want someone to go through a long learning curve at learning a new set of skills. So we'll oftentimes look for someone who's demonstrated the ability to do what we need done and has shown the adaptability to move into a different industry space if need be.
How often are you right with your hires? Are you right 95% of the time or 80? And what would be considered good?
I'm pretty accurate. We're pretty accurate when we do it right at senior level. So I think one of the things, you know, we didn't talk about is I don't make these decisions myself, okay? So I don't have a real high confidence level that I'm like the world's greatest interviewer. I think my interviews are insightful, and if we know what we're looking for, I know how to drill into those things. But again, I really rely on, I'll tell people, I like to go slow. I like to go fast in between interviews and go slow during the interviews. I like to add multiple hurdles in the process. The more data points, the better. So what I'll tell people is, you know, one of the risks is people fall in love with a candidate, and they don't vet them very well. Or they feel this like really pressing need to hire somebody like right now because the business problems are so great. They see the first plausible candidate, the first candidate that's better than what they've had, and they jump at it. So a typical situation that we're often involved in is we'll start and we'll have maybe myself and the CEO interview somebody for their team. So talking about a next level down hire here. And then we'll start talking about what are additional steps to build on the process. So I'll oftentimes send them to a firm to do an assessment, consist of some cognitive tests so we can verify just how smart they are. We'll do personality tests to understand where they are on some of these behavioral scales. We'll put them through a very in-depth professional interview and some role-playing exercises or some strategy exercises. And they'll grade it, and then we bring that into the mix. We do, in some situations, we'll have the person do a business planning exercise where when we get really far along, we'll give them some of the key objectives for the role and we'll provide them access to some information. Might be budgets, depending on what the role is. It might be, here's your organization, here's some marketing data, whatever we think is appropriate for the role. And we'll say, here are your objectives, take this data and come back and tell us what you think your plan of attack would be during your first 24 months, focusing on the first 180 days. We use that to do two things. One is get an idea of how they think through these problems. The other is to see, are we aligned around objectives and how we might go about fixing them? And we've had a lot of success, but I think if you really listen between the lines, what I'm really saying is, take your time, really dig in, and get really comfortable before you make the hire. Because in senior level jobs, in a private equity situation, you don't have but more than one bite of the apple sometimes to do it right.
How do you know when a CEO or other C-level person is just, it's not working?
I think it starts with, are they hitting their goals? What's the mood in the organization? Do people think they can take on the challenges and win? Or do they have a negative culture where they don't think that they can be successful, because that's set by the tone at the top? Is there weakness in the team? And the senior executive is comfortable with that team because they hire and manage more based on personal affinity than they do based on achievement of results. I look at all of that together, and I also listen to the board, but the board isn't always to the point where they're saying we need to make a change. Ultimately, leadership of the board, as well as leadership of the organization, come from having a strong CEO. If that's missing, then I start working with the board to help them better understand and get more aligned around an outcome.
Part of your role, it sounds like, is to make sure that the board, the private equity firm itself, is in sync with itself, so that the instructions that they're giving you and kind of what the mandate is actually unified and coherent.
Yes, I usually work through some kind of a process by which the board gets a deeper understanding of the challenges that the team and the organization faces, and then we start to converge around an outcome and what we need to do about it. And in a couple of situations, that would be to go out and find a new senior executive for the team.
So if a month or two or three into someone's tenure, everyone says, wow, what a mistake we made, how the heck do things like that happen?
They probably didn't properly analyze and break down the strengths and weaknesses of the individual. Now, it may be that they misdiagnosed what they needed, but I would say more likely, in my experience, it's that people generalized around the person. I'll challenge you to do this the next time you have somebody interviewing here within the Carlyle Group. Ask people what they thought of a candidate after they come out of an interview. Universally, they will say something like, I liked her, or something fairly nondescript like that, you know. And it's more about chemistry and feel. And what I really focus and I try to really have people do is delineate strengths and weaknesses. So there's a tendency in interviewing people that all of their capabilities intercorrelate. I like the person, so therefore they're good at everything. I didn't like the person, they're bad at everything. The reality is all of us have strengths and weaknesses. And if we get it wrong and the fit between our profile of strengths and weaknesses doesn't fit the challenge, we'll fail.
What's one of your favorite questions to ask a candidate?
I drill into their background and track record at building teams. I want to know that people know how to go out and hire people, that they know how to develop people, that they have in the past terminated people when they needed to, and they had the right reasons to do that.
Do you ask the quintessential question of what are your weaknesses, and do you get real answers?
I'm more likely to ask people about a given example where something didn't work out. Tell me about a situation in which you did hire somebody and it didn't work out. And then I go into, what did you learn from that? We all have weaknesses. We all make mistakes.
In terms of what motivates someone to want to succeed, do you care what the actual motivation is?
There is one thing that I have found is really, really important. And that is, I want a CEO in one of our portfolio companies that feels a real sense of obligation to the investors. Where you have an executive that's passionate about equity returns, we'll find a way. I have been in situations where that passion wasn't there. I've had executives tell me that they aren't terribly concerned about the equity. And I have not seen where that's worked out yet.
Dennis, thanks for shedding light on the fascinating subject of building executive teams. And to our listeners, thank you for joining us on Carlisle ValueCast.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. For more information, go to our website at www.carlisle.com. This has been a Carlisle ValueCast podcast.